Okay, so last week we began the third perek of Yehoshua. So just to review the first couple of psukim, and then we'll continue. So pasuk aleph in the very beginning of perek gimel in Yehoshua, vayashkim Yehoshua baboker vayisum me'ashitim vayavo ad hayarden. So Yehoshua gets up early in the morning. The Jewish people travel from Shittim, that's where they were settled. Vayavo ad hayarden, they come up to the Yarden, up to the Jordan River. Hu v'chol b'nei Israel. He, Yehoshua, and the entire Jewish people, Vayalinu Sham Terem Yavoru, and they rest there. They sleep overnight in right by the Yarden until they cross the next day. As we said last week, that this Vayashkin, the Malbim explains, this Vayashkin was on the 9th of Nisan. This was the 9th of Nisan. The spies returned on the 8th. Then the 9th, Yehoshua gets up early. They traveled. And then they slept overnight. And the reason why they slept there overnight is because they wanted to go in the middle of the day, right? They recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to perform Nisim for them. They're very confident. Broad daylight, just like Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we said last week, they want to go out in the middle of the day. We'll speak about this a little bit more today. And also we mentioned last week that the focus was always on Yehoshua. Vayashkim Yehoshua baboker. Hu v'chol b'nei Yisrael. Why? Because everyone's looking to him. He's the leader. Everyone's looking to him to see. He's going to make the first move. Is he going to go? Well, you know, yes, he is going to go. He's not going to go. When is he going to go? How is he going to go? Everybody's looking to Yehoshua. Yehoshua makes the first move. So this was the after the 3 days, and the shotrim travel through the camp, and they give the following order, the following directive. They command the people, saying, Kiroschem eis aron beris Hashem elokeichem. When you see the aron abris, right? The reason why we call it the aron abris is because it contains the luchos, which are the basis of our covenant with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, our bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when you see the aron beris Hashem elokeichem, the akohanim halavim nosim oso, and the kohanim who are from Shevet Levi are carrying the aron. The atem tisum imikomchem v'halachtem acharav. When you see the aron move, that's when you should move as well. And we mentioned again last week from the Al-Sheikh that Yehoshua is shifting the people's focus. He sees that all eyes are on him. Yehoshua sees that everyone's focused on whether he's moving and how he's moving. He doesn't like the attention. And Yehoshua turns to the people and he says, you know, you're all looking at me. You're looking in the wrong direction. Look there. That's the Aron. I'm following the Aron. You also should follow the Aron. We're following the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not following me. I'm just a shaliach. I'm just a messenger. All eyes are on the Aron, and he says, well, however the Aron goes, that's how we go. And we mentioned that Rashi points out also that here the traveling of the Aron was different than in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, first of all, the Levim carried the Aron and not the Kohanim, and here the Kohanim are carrying the Aron. And not only that, but in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, when they traveled, it was two camps, the Aron, and then two more camps, right? That's how they traveled. The Aron was in the middle, and we'll talk a little bit more about this tonight as well. Here, the Aron traveled first, and everybody else was behind the Aron, right? So Yehoshua is pointing out that this is, you know, we're following the Aron. The Aron is leading the way, and again, we'll see a little bit more about that today. Okay, I think we got through Pasuk Gimel last week, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think we did Pasuk Dalet. Here comes Pasuk Dalet. Ach rachok yiyeh beinechem. Very, very interesting pasuk here. Ach rachok yiyeh beinechem uveinav. But it says Yehoshua, or really, you know, the shotrim really are speaking on behalf of Yehoshua to the people. And they tell the people, listen, but you have to keep your distance. Right? You have to keep your distance between you and between the Aron. Ke'alpayim ama bamida. 2,000 amos away. Stay 2,000 amos away. Al tikrivu eilav. Don't get too close. So that you should know the path that you're supposed to travel, the way that you're supposed to travel. You've never done this before. You've never traveled this way. Right? Think about this. This is a new generation. They're traveling into Eretz Yisrael. They've never been to Eretz Yisrael before. Right? Their parents never, you know, were never in Eretz Yisrael before. This is new territory. This is new terrain. It's interesting. The Ralbag, you know, understands this in a very pashut way, like seemingly like pashut shot in the pasuk, and he says, why do they have to keep a distance? Because everyone had to see the Aron; they had to know where they were going. It's for a practical reason, right? The Aron was traveling, and if people were too close, no one will be able to see. So this way, they had the shogrim told the people, listen, you got to stay 2,000 amos away, so that way the Aron is all the way there in the distance, and that way everybody in the camp will be able to look ahead, see where the Aron is, and follow the Aron, as opposed to being crowded, and then only the people in the front can see the Aron, nobody else can see what's going on. So
the Aron by itself, you say?
Well, it's being carried by the Kohanim.
Being carried, but the way you're saying it is that the Aron is leading it. So the Aron is leading the Kohanim where to go, you're saying?
The Kohanim were carrying it, but the Kohanim were going to get a message from Yehoshua when it was time to leave. He was just telling everybody, watch the Aron when the Aron goes. The Aron's not rising miraculously.
That's what I'm trying to say.
No. The Kohanim were carrying it, but the Kohanim were going to be told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to send a message, presumably through Yehoshua, that it's time to go,
so
and he would tell
the
Kohanim.
Right,
right, exactly. That part I'm not sure about. It could be that the Kohanim, that the Aron might be directing the Kohanim. The actual moving, I think the Kohanim are carrying it, but it could be that they're going to feel the tug. I'm not 100% sure about that. The Aron might have guided them, which direction to go, and how to travel. Yeah.
Well, now the Aron was towering above the people because it was being carried. So it would be visible no matter.
Well, but it wasn't being carried like this. The Aron has Badin, right? The Aron is carried with poles.
Right.
All the Kalim were carried with poles.
Wasn't it tall? Was the Aron?
I mean, it wasn't that tall. I don't think it was that tall.
Truth of the matter is, if you're going to ask logically,
I don't remember the exact height of him.
Logically, it doesn't make sense when you have 600,000 people looking. You're not going to see the Aron because they didn't have binoculars in those days.
You're saying even 2,000 amos away.
You really
2,000 amos.
All the people in front of you. The guys up front saw it.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying.
Well, just like Moshe, when he was crossing the Yarden, and he was put on top.
Yeah.
Everyone should look at him as a sign that the Bnei Yisrael should see. So too, the Aron was raised up like that, and they should see the Aron. And
yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It could be. Could be the same thing. Interesting. Okay. It's interesting. The way that it's written in the Navi. The way that it's written is uveino, right? The word says achrachoki hiya beinechem uveino, which is in the singular. The way that it's pronounced, right? The kri is uveinov, which is the plural. So why are we talking about plural? There's only one aron here, right? So it's interesting. So the medrash Rashi quotes the medrash that what's the plural of the double aron? What's the second aron? So he says it's the Aron of Yosef. It's Yosef's bones. Because think about it, if you remember, right? They're taking Yosef's bones out of Mitzrayim. They've had the Yosef's Aron with them the whole time. And now they're finally coming into Eretz Yisrael. So according to this Medrash, there were actually two Aronos leading the way into Eretz Yisrael. The Aron Abris, which is the Aron that contained the Luchos. And then there was the Aron of Yosef, which interestingly enough, according to this Medrash, was being carried with the Aron Abris. That was also leading the way into Eretz Yisrael. It's an interesting perspective
the first one to leave was the first one to come back.
I'm sorry? Yosef was the first to leave Eretz Yisrael, started the Golos, and he's right. The first one to come back and enter it.
Didn't they have two Aronos for the Luchos? Didn't they have one Aron for the Luchos that were Shleimim and one for the
Luchos?
Later on, the Aron that went out.
Yes, right. I don't know if at this time they had two. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
They were all in the same one.
I'm not sure. I know later they have two. One went out to war and one stayed behind in the Mishkan. Yeah, but I'm not sure. At this point, I'm not sure when that happened. I'm not sure. It might be. I'm not sure. But anyway, so it's also interesting. The 2,000 amos. Where are we familiar with 2,000 amos from? Tchum, right? Tchum Shabbos. So Rashi also quotes another Medrash. That the Jewish people were the army here was destined to be stuck outside of Yericho on Shabbos. Okay, so why they say that why did it say to keep the Aron 2,000 amos away? So Rashi says here in the name of the Medrash that it was Davka 2,000 amos and not more. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the people should be able to go to the Aron and daven on Shabbos. On Shabbos they're going to be stuck outside of Yericho with the Aron in front of them. Right, if the Aron was more than 2,000 amos away, they wouldn't be able to travel that because the Tchum and wherever my 2,000 amos from where I am, that's the Tchum Shabbos. So they wouldn't be able to travel to daven by the Aron. So this way, he said, keep it no more than 2,000 amos away, So that way, even on Shabbos, they can travel to the Aron, you know, and where the Aron was stationed, they can travel to the Aron and Daven when they're stuck outside of Yericho. This was a little bit of a hinting to what's to come in the future. Okay. It's interesting, the Malbim also points out that there's another major difference between how the Aron traveled in the times of Moshe and how the Aron is traveling now. So he says in the times of Moshe, we know that the Aron traveled actually ahead of the people, right? The Aron traveled, there were times, I should say, because we just said the Aron was also in the middle of the camp. But there were times that the Aron traveled ahead, and the Aron actually miraculously would, you know, defeat, you know, it would smite whoever was in its path. And sometimes the Aron would travel even a 3-day journey ahead of the nation, ahead of the people. But the Malbim points out that here the goal was not for the Aron to be conquering anything or waging war or defeating the enemy. The goal of the Aron was really just to show, just to show the people where to go. So there was it wasn't traveling ahead that much in advance, you know, that far in advance of the people. It just traveled, right now ahead of the people. Okay, so that's the message of the Shotrim. The Shotrim essentially are redirecting the people's attention and saying to the people, don't look so much at Yehoshua. He's a great person. He's a great leader. But it's time to look at the Aron and watch the Aron. And now Yehoshua comes back and talks to the people in Pasuk Hey. Yom Yehoshua el Ha'am, Hiskadoshu. So Yehoshua comes to the people and he says, you have to sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves, Hiskadoshu. Why? Because tomorrow, Hashem is going to do wonders. Hashem is going to do wonders. Okay? Bekir bechem, within you. Hashem is going to do wonders. So it seems like right off the bat here, that Yehoshua had some feeling that there were going to be miracles here. That this wasn't going to be just a natural war, a natural battle, that they were going to win with strategy. Yehoshua knows that there's something miraculous that's going to happen, there's something supernatural that's going to happen. And many of the Mefarshim grapple here with, you know, how did he know this? How did Yehoshua know? We don't find any Nevuah, that Yehoshua is getting a Nevuah, that there's going to be miracles, that there are going to be wonders, Niflaos. How does Yehoshua know that this is going to happen? So there's different interpretations in the Mefarshim. The Radak says that Hashem told Yehoshua to cross the Yarden. Now Yehoshua takes a look at the Yarden, and he sees the river. And it's interesting, there's different Mefarshim. Some of the Mefarshim are going to play down the Yarden. We'll see in a little bit. But here the Radak plays up the Yarden. And he says, listen, the Yarden is a big river. And he says, Yehoshua looks at the Yarden, and he says, Hashem says I'm supposed to cross this Yarden. How am I going to get across? How am I going to take this whole army and cross the Yarden? So Yehoshua has a feeling, he doesn't know, right? He didn't get any nevuah to this effect. But Yehoshua knows that Hashem told him to cross. He looks and he sees the Yarden, so he says, it's got to be that Hashem is going to make a miracle. Hashem is going to make some sort of a miracle to get us across the Yarden, right? It's fascinating because, you know, if we're told something like that, what do? You know, we're skeptical. We doubt. You know, imagine someone tells us, okay, you know, just travel over that river over there. Well, we look at the river, how are we going to get across the river? Yeah, okay, maybe we're really not supposed to go across the river. You know, we're going to second guess, we're going to doubt, we're going to be skeptical. Here, Yehoshua, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said cross the river, he was ironclad. There were no questions. Of course we're going to go across the river. How are we going to get across? This is going to be a miracle.
Yeah,
push it.
But Yeshua had that. He was at Kriyas Yamsuf, so he knows.
So he knows. He saw, yeah. I
said,
right.
You know, that is someone else jumped in also. No.
So we don't find that, like the story with Nachshon Ben Aminadav, we don't have here. We don't have that here. I mean, we'll see in a minute that the Kohanim go in, but it's not the same type of story where they're going in, you know, up to their necks and things like that. Yeah.
The way we have the Yarden today,
yeah.
Do historians know for a fact that it was way bigger than we see?
I don't know.
He crossed was right near Yericho, so there it happens to be very wide.
It is wide there?
Yeah, if you go through the north, it's very narrow.
No, it's still not that.
You see the wide?
They moved the water up, they built dams and stuff like that along the way, for irrigation and stuff like that.
I'm just curious. I mean,
I'm not sure.
I was just there, the guy told it, because I asked him, I said, this is supposed to be a river, it looks like a little
creek.
10-foot right.
Right,
and what he
you?
Said, because
that's what, you
what they're
for.
Doing is they divert a lot of water for the Kinneret, irrigation and other things.
What part of the island were you?
Where
right at the point where they crossed.
No, not at the point where they crossed.
That's what
at the point where Dayim say Yeshu crossed.
Right, so that's further north. That's further north.
It was north. Yeah.
Right, that's further north.
Right, the water's coming from north.
No, but I'm saying that it's very narrow over there.
Very.
That's very, very narrow. As you go south, it widens finally and it ends into Yam HaMelech, which is certainly was much wider than, I mean, forget about years ago.
Right.
I remember 40 years ago that it was twice the width than it is now.
Right.
But certainly where Yericho is, it's much, much wider.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to consult the experts on this.
It's not a real river, even if
yeah, it's a real river.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's
like
interesting.
A little creek. That's about
you
it.
Are
again, the Radak plays it up a little bit. We'll see in a minute that others play it down a little bit. But anyway, so that's what the Radak says, that Yehoshua knew. You know, he knew that there had to be some sort of a miracle. The Malbim actually says that Yehoshua, how did Yehoshua know there was going to be a miracle? Because Hashem basically told him, follow the Aron. Yehoshua says, I'm following the Aron, there's going to be something. There's going to be a miracle here. Right? Yeah, the Aron's going, you know, there's got to be something. There's going to be a miracle that's going to help us to get across. It's interesting to note, what does Yehoshua tell the what does he tell the people? He's Kadoshu. Right? Sanctify yourselves. Purify yourselves. Why is he telling them he's Kadoshu? So the Mesudah HaZdavid says that if you're about to experience a miracle from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you have to prepare yourself. You know, Re'uyim, the Mesudah HaZdavid says, Re'uyim Sheyu Tehorim, it's fitting for you. If you know, you're going to experience a miracle at the hands of God, you should be pure, you should be fitting. Some say the Malbim says that they had to prepare themselves so that they would merit the miracles. Right? So there's different elements here. There's one aspect of, I'm just, you know, if I'm going to encounter a miracle of Hashem, you know, I should prepare myself. I have to prepare myself for this event. I have to, number one, out of kavod, out of respect, you know, in terms of what you can gain from it. But, you know, you see something momentous is going to happen. You know, you prepare yourself, you dress up. I remember, I think I mentioned this in shul, you know, it's obviously not the same type of a thing. But I remember when I was in yeshiva, and Rabbi Aaron Leib Steinman came from Eretz Yisrael for his visit. He came to give chizuk to different places in America. And I remember he came to the yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva got up the day before he came, and he said, everybody should wear Big Day Shabbos tomorrow. You know, you have to dress up out of cover for the Rosh Yeshiva. He's coming, the Gadol Hador is coming to visit the yeshiva. Everybody should come out and dress, you know, dress properly to greet him. So here is a similar idea, according to the Mitzvah HaZdavid. You're about to experience a miracle of Hashem, a supernatural miracle. That's what you're about to experience. You know, dress the part. Put on a suit, put on a dress, look nice, you know, purify yourselves, go to the mikveh. You know, dress up and, you know, dress nicely, prepare yourself for the miracle. Again, the Malbim's focus is a little bit more on the fact that you have to merit the miracle. If the miracle is going to happen, you have to be on a certain level. You have to be on a certain madrega. So purify yourself. He's Kadoshu, so that you can be on that madrega. You can be on that level to merit and to be zelcha for such a miracle. The Alshech even says that here the people were actually very nervous because all of a sudden Yehoshua is telling them there's going to be miracles, and the people start to think to themselves, miracles? Are we really deserving of miracles? Are we really deserving? You know, how's this going to go? Is this really going to work? You know, maybe Hashem wants to bring a miracle, and then all of a sudden he's going to look at us and he's going to say, well, you know, I'm not bringing a miracle for you guys. Right? So the people, says the Al-Sheikh, were very nervous. They were very anxious that they weren't on the level to deserve these miracles that Yehoshua is talking about, that they're anticipating. And really what Yehoshua was doing was he was encouraging them. And he was saying, listen, Rabosai, don't worry. You're okay. You're doing great. All you have to do is Hiskadoshu. All you have to do is sanctify yourselves. You're not that bad. Don't beat yourselves up. Don't think you're on such a low madrega, such a low level. You know, you have to improve a little bit. You have to hiskadoshu, purify yourselves a little bit, sanctify yourselves a little bit, but you're not all that bad. You know, I think this is like a, you know, such an important lesson of godless ha'adam. You know, the school of thought in the Musar movement. You know, people are good people. We're good people. Do we make mistakes? Of course. Of course, we all make mistakes. You know, do we slip up sometimes 100%? You know, but to be on the level to merit a miracle, you don't have to do that much, says the Al-Sheikh. Hiskadoshu, purify yourselves. You're almost there. You know, we have the potential. You're almost there. You're almost at that level. All you have to do is just, you know, a little bit more. Just go over the hump a little bit. You know, purify yourselves a little bit. Sanctify yourselves a little bit. And then you'll be there. So Yehoshua is encouraging the people, you know, don't beat yourselves up. Don't think low of yourselves. Of course, we're all human beings. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. We sin sometimes. But it's okay. You know, even you, even us, even we, as sinners, says Yehoshua, we can all merit miracles. All we have to do is Hiskadoshu. All we have to do is we have to take a step, we have to purify ourselves, we have to sanctify ourselves just a little bit, and we'll be at that level, we'll be on that madrega to merit the miracles. I think such an important lesson, you know, just in terms of, you know, this is the Alshach, how he understands this pasuk, but such an important lesson in terms of understanding where we're at and the potential that we have and what's necessary. You know, we don't have to, you know, sometimes we think we have to, you know, oh, I can't do that. I have to, you know, I would have to change my whole life. You don't have to change your whole life. You know, okay, Elul is for major change. You know, Rosh Hashanah is for major change. But, you know, sometimes all we need is a little hiskadashu, a little effort, a little change. We change a nuance here. We change a little subtlety there. Then we change something small hiskadashu, and all of a sudden, we're ready for miracles. You know, we merit miracles. We're up for a miracle. And that's really, according to the Alshich, this was the message that Yehoshua was sharing with the people. Okay. Pasuk Vav, Vayomer Yehoshua el HaKohanim Lemor. So comes Yehoshua and he turns to the Kohanim. He turns to the Kohanim, and they're the ones who are carrying the Aron. He turns to the Kohanim saying, Se'u es Aron Habris, pick up the Aron, Ve'ivru lifnei ha'am, and cross before the people, because again, you guys have to lead. You have to lead the Aron before the people. Vayisu es Aron Habris, Vayelchu lifnei ha'am, the Kohanim do it. The Mavim explained that this is the morning of the 10th. Right? We're now on the 10th, the 10th of Nisan. It's time to go in. Yehoshua turns to the Kohanim, he says, okay guys, pick up the Aron, let's go. Right, you guys go first. Vayomer Hashem al Yehoshua. So now Hashem turns to Yehoshua. It's again, 10th of Nisan, the Kohanim are about to pick up the Aron and go in. Hashem comes to Yehoshua and he tells him, Hayom hazeh, ochel gadelcha be'enei kol Yisrael. Fascinating. All of a sudden, you know, like all this anticipation of going into Eretz Yisrael and being successful and conquering and miracles, all of a sudden Hashem pulls Yehoshua off to the side and he says, by the way, I just want to let you know, today, Achel gadelcha be'enei kol Yisrael. I'm going to make you great in the eyes of the nation. Today I'm going to make you have an incredible reputation. You're going to be the man today. You're going to be it. Asher yedun ki kasher ha'isi imoshe ehyeh imachin. Today they're going to realize that just like I was with Moshe all of those years, just like I was behind Moshe, I supported Moshe, I was with Moshe, I'm with you as well. Today that's going to happen. You know, an amazing thing. On the one hand, you know, everything that we've seen until now, Yehoshua is kind of trying to shun the spotlight. You know, he doesn't want it.
You know, Shimon, like, sort of, not odds, but like, he's trying to be modest and like, don't.
Exactly.
I mean, he's like, I'm going to build.
Exactly. Yehoshua is, you know, is diverting the people's attention from him. Look at the Aron. Don't worry, you know, follow the Aron. By the way, this mirrors almost the conversation between Moshe and Hashem. Right at the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe at the Sneh, and he says, you're my man, I want you to lead the people. And Moshe says, me? I can't lead. Right, whom? I'm not a leader. Go to Aaron, he's my older brother, he can lead. Right, so it's a similar thing. But this is the true leader. Right, the true Jewish leader is not the person who wants the kavod, is not the person who's looking to lead, is not the person who wants all the headlines, and wants to be the man, and wants everybody's attention. That's not the Jewish leader. The true Jewish leader is the one who diverts the attention from himself. The true Jewish leader is the one who says, look at the Yaron, look at the Torah, look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem says, listen, I just want to tell you, you know, you are the man. I just want to tell you that I have your back. I just want to tell you that today, everybody's going to recognize that I'm with you just like I was with Moshe. It's also fascinating because what miracle is he about to do? He's about to split the sea. He's about Kriyas Yarden. Right, he's about to split the Yarden. So he's telling him that the same exact miracle that I used for Moshe Rabbeinu, which really, you know, solidified in the people's eyes, Vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe Avdo, right? That's what we say in the Shira, right? That solidified the people's belief and the people's faith and trust in Moshe, I'm going to do the same thing for you. Same exact miracle, right? Different river, different body of water, but I'm going to do the same miracle for you. And the Malbim points out also, and he says, listen, he says that this is not because of Bnei Yisrael. You know, as opposed to what we said in the previous pasuk, that he's telling the people he's kadoshu so that they can merit the miracle. The Malbim says, no, they're not meriting the miracle. The miracle is not because of them. The miracle is because of you, Yehoshua. That's why I'm doing this miracle. And in fact, in here, the Malbim plays down the river. Because the Malbim says, the Yarden is not such a big deal. He says, listen, the Meraglim crossed the Yarden, right? The two spies. How'd they get across? We don't hear any stories about how they got across the Yarden. They got across somehow. It wasn't such a big deal, right? He quotes the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, "Ki b'makli avarti es hayarden." Yaakov says, "I went across with my staff, right, with my stick."
Yaakov crossed much further north.
Okay, could be. I'm not familiar with the geography, but I'll trust you.
Across,
right?
Much, much further
north. Okay, so there it's narrower. So the Malbim says that it's such a crazy river that you can't cross the river. And he says, really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not have to make this nes. They could have gotten across the river. Right? They could have made it across. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu Davka made the nes in order to show B'nai Yisrael that this is for Yahushua. Right? This is for Yahushua's leadership. This is because Yahushua is meriting this this nes. So the Alshech here also, the Alshech points out that that really what Hashem is saying here to Yahushua is Hashem is saying, you know, I'm going to reward you for diverting the attention. You know, you tried to shun the spotlight. You tried to divert people's attention and then make them focus on the Aura, make them focus on me. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward you by making a nace and getting all the people to recognize. And this is really exactly what Chazal say, as I mentioned, Kol HaBoreach Min HaKavod. Right? HaKavod Boreach Acharov. Right? The Chazal say in several places. Right? The one who runs away from honor, one who runs away from respect, that's who people honor. That's who people respect. The one who tries to get people to honor him, he tries to get people to respect him, just the opposite happens. Right? Nobody has any respect for those kind of people. Right? If you want the respect, no one's going to give it to you. If you just do what you're supposed to do, and you're not interested in the spotlight, not interested in the respect, not interested in the kavod, then the kavod will follow naturally. Right? People have a very good sense. It's interesting. I see this. You see this in high school. You see this with kids, with adults. People have a sixth sense as to who they should honor, who they should respect. And it's not the people that are demanding of the respect. Right? People respect the people that deserve the respect. That's just the way it is. When you see people who are true people, who are genuine, you know, who are doing the right thing because it's the right thing, not because you know they want their name up there, you see that, and it comes through, and the people respect these people. So that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Yahushua. Yeah.
In Pasuk Gimel, it says that the Kohanim and the Levim were carrying the Aron, but now it says only the Kohanim.
Okay.
Why did the Levim disappear?
So the Mefarshim say there that it's not. If you look closely at Pasuk Gimel, it's not the Kohanim and the Levim. But it says v'hakohanim halaviim. It's the Kohanim who were from Shevet Levi. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's really just the Kohanim the whole time. Now why there does it refer to them as the Kohanim halaviim who were from Shevet Levi? Presumably because since this was generally a job for the Leviim, so why were the Kohanim fit to carry the Aron at all? So what the Pasuk seems to be saying is that this job of carrying the Aron was really for Shevet Levi as a whole. Now, generally, it was given to the Levim of Shevet Levi. But since the Kohanim are also from Shevet Levi, they're still also in the Parsha of carrying the Aron, so to speak, and they normally didn't do it, but there were several occurrences where they did carry the Aron, as we spoke about last week. Okay. So comes Pasuk Ches. And again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Yahushua, and he tells him, "Ve'ata titzaves haKohanim nosei Aron abris leimor." This is what you should command the Kohanim to say: "Kivoachem ar kitzei mehayarden bayarden ta'amodu, bayarden ta'amodu." When you get to the edge of the river, stop. Stop at the edge of the river. Okay, so this is the directive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yahushua to tell the Kohanim. Now, which edge of the river are we talking about? Which bank? Right? Kivoachem ad kitzei mei hayarden. When you get to the edge of the rivers of the Yarden, which edge?
The east bank.
The eastern bank? Meaning, then according to that, the pasuk would mean, as soon as the Kohanim, as soon as step into the river, right, just in the very beginning of the eastern side of the river, and as soon as you get in, stop. Right? That's what it would mean. And that's how some of the Mefarshim learn, right? Some of the Mefarshim understand. Rashi says this way, the Malbim says this way, that the Kohanim were instructed that as soon as they get into the water, step into the water and then stop. And as soon as you get into the water, you should stop. However, the Radak and the Metzudas Tavar understand it the opposite way. They understand that it doesn't mean, right, Hashem was not telling them that the Kohanim should stop right when they get into the river. He was telling the Kohanim, cross the river, and right when you get to the other side, right before you exit the river, stop at the edge of the river on that side, on the western side of the river. It's interesting here also, because someone asked before, maybe it was Aaron, someone asked before about, was there anyone who went in? Like Nachshon ben Aminadav. So this is not exactly the same thing, but we find, also Hashem is saying, I want someone to go in, right? The water hasn't split yet. Hashem says, but I want the Kohanim to go in. Don't wait for the water to split, right? Just like Moshe. Moshe said to the people, let's go, let's go. And when this happens, people will recognize that this is happening in your merit, Yosha. You see the miracle that's happening. They're just, you know, I'm telling you, just go in and it'll happen. It'll happen by itself. The reason why the Kohanim had to stay there, some of the Mefarshim say, is because, you know, the Aron was really the source of the miracle. Again, the miracle was happening, according to many of the Mefarshim, in the merit of Yoshua. But the Aron was really the source of this miraculous power of the Yarden splitting. So either they had to go in, and right when they went in, they stopped, and then that would split the Yarden, or they would go in at the all the way until the western edge, and then the Yarden would split, and everybody would go through while they were still there, so to speak, like holding the water up, and then the Kohanim would leave, and the water would return. Pasuk Tes Vayomer Yoshua al Bnei Yisrael. So Yeshua comes and tells Bnei Yisrael, "Go shu heina v'shimu es dibre Hashem Elokeichem." Come here. Right? It turns to the people. Everybody, come here and listen to the words of Hashem, your God. Okay, I'm going to read the next two psukim also, just because you see the Mefarshim kind of deal with them all together. Vayomer Yehoshua, and Yehoshua says, "Bezos teidun ki kel chai bekir bechem." This is how you're going to know that there's a living God among you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you. V'horesh yorish mipneichem v'saknani v'sachiti v'sachivi v'saprizi v'sakivoshi v'haimori v'haivusi. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is with you, and he's going to defeat all of these nations, these seven nations. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the one to defeat them. What's Bezos Teidun? How do you know this? Hinei Aron Habris Adon Kol Haaretz. Because the Aron Habris, the Aron of the Covenant, of the Master of the entire world, over lifneichem bayarden, is crossing before you into the Yarden. Now, what's going on with these psukim? Right? What's Yehoshua trying to communicate to the people? How is he doing this? Many of the mefarshim quote a fascinating medrash here. A fascinating medrash. You know, right before we get to the medrash, so the Malbim says that there are really two signs. Yehoshua is telling the people there are two signs that you're going to be successful. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help. Going to help us be successful to conquer our enemies. Number one, because the Aron Habris is over Lifneichem. The Aron is traveling before you. So he says, just like if you have a general or a king who travels in front of the army and says, guys, follow me, right? I'm going in front. You're confident. You're confident. When the general goes ahead, when the king goes in front, you're confident that he's going to lead the army, he's going to lead you into battle, and you're confident that you're going to win. That's number one. Aron Habris is over Lifneichem. That's reason number one to be confident. Reason number two is that it's over Lifneichem by Yarde, into the river. And what's going to happen? He's hinting to them, this river is going to split. Right? The Aron's going into the river is going to split. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the river, you know, he's not going to have a problem defeating the seven nations. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, you know, he's demonstrating that he's, you know, he rules over Teva, that he's completely the master of the universe, as the Pasuk says, Adon Kol Haaretz. And we'll talk about this in 1 minute. But the Malbim and the Alshich, and many of the Mefarshim quote a Medrash here, a fascinating, very perplexing Medrash, but I think there's a lot to it here. The Rashi also actually quotes the Medrash, and he says that here, there was an incredible miracle with the people. And they all quote this Medrash, that Yehoshua took all of the Jewish people, the entire army, and squeezed them, bein habadim, between the poles of the Aron. Squeezed them between the poles of the Aron. Okay? This was an incredible miracle. Squeezed them between the poles of the Aron. The Alshech even says that the language of Vishimu es divrei Hashem Elokeichem implies that everyone could hear at the same time. How could Yehoshua talk to all these people? Right? So he says, this, you see that the you know, what the Medrash is saying, that there was this miracle that he squeezed them all bein habadim. He squeezed them all, you know, in between these poles. What's the nature of this? What's the idea behind this? So again, he's saying he's showing them miracles. He's showing them, look, you see this miracle here? You see the fact that you're all now confined in this small little space? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do, he has total control over Teva. He has total control over nature. And just like you're now confined between these two Badim in a space that seems like only maybe one or two people can fit, and now I have the whole nation squeezed here, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do this miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also can take care of all the nations that live in Canaan. You have nothing to be afraid of. He's the Adon Kol Haaretz. He's the master of the universe. He's the master over Teva. You know, I thought also that perhaps you can say, you know, what's the idea of just in, you know, homiletically, or maybe or Alpi Drush, what's the idea that the Medrash is explaining to us that he squeezed them all bein habadim. He squeezed them. In fact, the Alshech quotes also that the Moshe Rabbeinu. There's another Medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke to the people in front of the rock, he also squeezed the entire Jewish nation within Dalet Amos in front of the rock. You know, what's the idea behind this? So I think the Badim, interestingly, I think the Badim represents the fact that we're close to Torah, right? Because these were the Badei Ha'aron, right? We're talking about the Aron here. So Yoshua squeezing all the people, you know, in between the Badim of the Aron. So perhaps part of this is that part of the message that he's sending them is that if you want to see miracles in your life, you want to recognize the Hashem, you want to see the miracles of Hashem, you have to get close to Torah. You have to connect yourself to the Aron. You have to connect yourself to Torah. And when you're close to Torah, Bein Abadim, that you're totally confined, that your whole perspective, everything is confined by the Aron, by the Torah, then you'll be able to see the miracles. Then you'll be able to tap into HaKadosh Baruch Hu and see Him in your life and see His hand in your life.
How do you stay 2,000 feet from the Aron?
No, well, that was when they were traveling. But now,
so that
spell doesn't happen out? No, but now is a miracle. Now everybody's squished in. Yeah. I think also part of this is that in order to really connect with Hashem, we need unity. You know, we need achdus. We need everybody to be squeezed bein habadim. And sometimes sometimes in order to have achdus, you have to feel a little bit squished. You have to feel a little bit of discomfort. You know, if everybody's very comfortable, there's not going to be much achdus. Because I have my way and you have your way, and I have my my dalet amos and you have your dalet amos. The only way there's real achdus is if we feel a little bit squished, we feel a little bit of discomfort. That's okay. That's natural. That's healthy, and perhaps that's also part of the lesson Yoshua is teaching the people, confining them between the Badei Ha'aron, to say that it's okay if you feel a little bit squished. It's okay if you feel a little discomfort, because that's how you connect with Hashem. You connect with Hashem when we're ba'achdus. You connect with Hashem when everybody's together. Everybody's focused on the same thing. And focus together, not distracted by silliness, not distracted by narishkeit. When you're focused together and you're squished together, that's when we really feel the achdus. The Malbim says something fascinating here, and he says that that there are really two models of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within the Jewish people. He says there's the heart model and the brain model. Okay, right? There's the lev and the moach. So what are these two models? So he says that he quotes the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, who says that when it comes to the world, the more chashuv something is, the more it encapsulates everything else. Right? The boss, the CEO is the most chashuv person in the company. He oversees everything. The less chashuv something is, the more it's hidden, it's contained, it's kind of really deep in, you want to see something not chashuv, you gotta see it, and you gotta dig deep to see something that's not so chashuv. The chashuv things are always on the outside, always encapsulating other things. He says when it comes to the human being, the more chashuv it is, the more internal it is. Right? The heart, all the important organs are deep inside of the recesses of the human body, protected by all of the other things of the human body. I remember when I was dating, a Rebbe of mine used to say that he quoted a Mishnah in Kalim or something. He was quoting it out of context, Apij Rush. But he said that sometimes, you try the door to a restroom, to see if it's locked. So he says, Matzo Pasuach, right? You find the door open, Biyadua She'ein Shamish. You know that there's no one there. Right? If the door is open, if the person's like an open book, and they just, they tell you everything that's on their mind, everything that's on their heart, there's not much there to the person. But he says, Matzo Na'u, if you try the door and it's locked, the person is guarded a little bit. Biyadua Sheyeshamish. You know that there's something there inside. You know that there's something significant that there's something, you know, to speak of inside. You know, because when there's something chashuv, you hide it, you guard it. You don't just let it out. That's the human being. So he says, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu has these two models of residing within the Jewish people. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within the Jewish people as the heart. He resides within the Jewish people, covered up, you know, deep under layer, you know, layer after layer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in there somewhere, so to speak. And when he's in there, when he's the heart model, right, and he's residing within the Jewish people, so then it's hard to see him. You don't see the heart. You don't see the important organs of the body. You don't see how the heart is making the entire body function, right? So too, you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's behester upon him. He's quiet. You know, he's deep inside, quiet, doing what he needs to do, keeping the Jewish people alive, keeping you going, but without you really noticing what's happening. But he says sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Moach model. Sometimes he's the model of the brain. Sometimes he's the model of our thought processes, where we know that the mind is controlling everything. We're constantly aware of how our mind is controlling our emotions. It's controlling our thought processes. Right? Everyone's aware of the mind because the mind is outwardly in control of everything. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is residing within the Jewish people in the Moach model, in the brain model, so then he's controlling everything from on high. And everything is clear. You see it all. So here, according to the Malbim, what Yehoshua was telling the Jewish people is that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes is the heart model, now he's going to be the brain model. Now he's going to be the Moach model. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now going to act as the Moach. Why? And he says that's why the Aron Bris Hashem went first. To show the Jewish people, this is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not behester upon him here. This is not going to be secret miracles. This is not going to be, you know, Hashem just like pulling the strings behind the puppet show. This is going to be the Aron Bris Hashem going first. This is going to be the Aron going first, the Kohanim carrying the Aron. Everything's going to be clear. Hashem's going to be out in the open. Right? That's the model that we're going to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why there's going to be Nisim. And this also, going back, this also answers, how did Yehoshua know that there were going to be Nisim? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him the message. He's telling him the Aron goes first. Right? When the Aron goes first, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not behester upon him. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu begilui upon him. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Moach. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu out in the open, guiding everything that's happening, guiding everything that's going on. And Yehoshua says, that's why we're going to see Nisim. We're going to see supernatural things here. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a totally different model. Unfortunately, today, we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu behester upon him. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Lev model, not as the Moach model. But here Yehoshua is telling the people, we're going to be successful. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Moach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us supernaturally. He's going to take care of everything that we have before us. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. And we'll pick up next week with Pasuk Yud Beis.